It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is once again time for us to spend the next 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. I hope during this past week all of you had a chance to get out and enjoy the outdoors a little bit, whether you were fishing or scouting at the deer lease or whatever, but I do hope you had some time to get out and just enjoy yourself. You know, the first portion of our show is made possible by Young's Wilderness Camp up on Lake of the Woods in Ontario, Canada. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com. The toll-free phone number is 866-894-0674. Now, today we're going to talk about something that we haven't touched on in a long, long time. That's muzzle loading. Shooting muzzle loaders, hunting with muzzle loaders. And we want to tell you about a muzzle-loading scoring system for trophy game animals called the Long Hunter. The Long Hunter Society, actually, is the name of it. But I think who could do this the very best is Mr. Dave Ehrig. Now, Dave is chairman of the Long Hunter Society, which is with the National Muzzle-Loading Rifle Association. I've been a member of the National Muzzle-Loading Rifle Association for years. They have an awesome magazine called Muzzle Blast. And on the line right now, we do have Dave. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Luke.
The interesting thing, I think, for a lot of people that a lot of people may not be aware of, through the National Muzzle-Loading Rifle Association, the Long Hunter Society, there's a separate records book, the Long Hunter record book, right?
That is correct. The Long Hunter book was in reaction to muzzleloaders wanting to have something in which to show off their trophies and their successes in the field. As you're well aware of, the Pope and Young folks take care of all the bow hunters. Boone and Crockett basically is the mama bear for all the scoring systems and takes care of everybody from rifles to bows to handguns to whatever. But the Long Hunter Society came up with a book that brought honor both to the North American big game animals and the people who went after them with firearms that loaded from the top. This started in 1988. We are now coming out with book six this fall, 2012.
That's awesome, Dave. And to acquire one of the books, do you need to be a member of the National Muzzleloader Rifle Association?
Well, while we would love for everybody to be a member, no, that's not necessary. Anyone can get into the book as long as they follow the guidelines set forth in the Rules of Fair Chase and have their animal scored, either by a Boone and Crockett score or one of our own Long Hunter Society scores, who are also Boone and Crockett trained.
Dave, are there quite a few Long Hunter scores here in Texas and Oklahoma in this section?
Yes, there are. In fact, if you go to the website, which is www.nmlra.org, and click on the Long Hunter link, you'll see in there, by state, all the different scores that are available to you. And if you go to Texas and click on Texas, you'll see a whole host of people there that can help you.
There's a bunch of them. Well, you know, the allure of muzzle loading bit me way back there, years back. And I read about them, and I thought, well, do I want to get into this? But I never will forget the first muzzleloader rifle I got. It was a Hawken reproduction. And it was a patched round ball that I was shooting. And I remember it was the old number 11 cap on it, you know. And I shot that thing, and I discovered pretty quickly that once I learned the basics, I could keep it, I could group them with those iron sights out to about 75 yards at a pretty tight group. But there's so many different, nowadays we can go, if you want to be really get way back there, you can shoot flintlocks, the Hawken type rifles, and up to the modern day inline. There's a lot of choices now, aren't there?
Absolutely. The Long Hunter Society does not exclude any type of rifle, and I mean any type. As long as you're loading it from the top and you're pushing the bullet home with a ramrod, we don't care whether you ignite it with fire on the outside,
right,
either from flint and primer powder or a percussion cap, or on the inside with a 209 primer, and I'll even go you one better. You might even consider the electronic muzzleloader that the CVA folks came out with, the Electra. And we accept them all. We feel the challenge is not just how you pull the trigger. The challenge is coming up with a custom load that you put down the barrel yourself. It's not like buying a box of bullets off the shelf, as you're well aware, Luke. You have to be very careful about going to the range and working up a load that's both accurate and powerful, that you can see your sights clearly, and even more than that, that you've learned the skills necessary as a woodsman or a frontiersman out on the prairie or mountain man up there in the Rockies to get close to the animal, because we're talking about a sport that if you're a primitive rifleman, you're going to try and get to that game animal under 100 yards, and if you're an inline scope muzzle loader, you're going to try and get to that game animal under 200 yards. And the simple reason is energy. These rifles do not compete at 3,000 feet per second with a Magnum centerfire rifle. They are handicapped because the bullets are coming out somewhere from 2,000 feet per second or less, and they're really depending on the mass of the bullet rather than the speed in order to bring the game animal to the ground.
That's true, Dave. And you know, through my years of hunting with a muzzleloader, I've learned this. If you take up the challenge of muzzleloading, you had better not just read some instructions and then just assume that's going to work in your rifle. I've learned that. You better, and that's part of the fun to me, Dave, is actually getting out there and say you're shooting a 50 caliber and a lot of people are telling you to load it up with 150 grains and shoot it 3 inches high at 100 and you're good to two. That, you know, that may or it may not be the case with the particular projectile that you're using, right? So what I'm getting at, the experimenting, the shooting, and the learning for sure that you know what your load and your projectile is capable of doing, that's the whole allure to me, you know?
It is an allure, and it's both an intimacy that you develop with the rifle that you're hunting with. You will become more familiar with a muzzle-loading gun than you ever will with any other type of firearm. And the reasons are many. Whether you bought the rifle off a rack, got it from your best friend, or even built it yourself, you become one with the gun. I know the Marine Corps and the Army guys who are in that sniper division, they all like to talk about becoming one with a gun, but it's so true. Because it's a one-shot challenge. You don't have a whole bunch of bullets in the magazine that you can fire for effect on the first round, see where it's hitting, and then dump a few more into the hillside as you gradually walk toward the animal. This is a one-and-done deal. So you better have done your homework, and you better be familiar with the gun and with the load if you're going to be successful.
Dave, do you agree with me that the only way to know for sure, start with some parameters that are safe, you know, as far as powder charges and all, but then just allocate the time, which is really good recreational time, but take the time and spend actually burning that powder at a range or makeshift range or at a public range. Just get out there and shoot, you know?
And it is so much fun. It's just magic when you ignite the load in a muzzle-loading gun, because you have, first of all, the sight is different. There's a whole lot of smoke, even if you're shooting the replica powders. Secondly, the sound is different. It sounds like somebody just slammed the garage door. It's not
yep.
the crack that you're used to with a modern 7mm Magnum. Also, the smell. You know, there's that aroma of sulfur in the air if you're using black powder, or even that pungent smell that you get from shooting some of the sugar-based replica powders. It's kind of a sweet smell. But it's very magical, and once you ignite the shot, it becomes a disease. You just want to do it again and again and again and again, and that's how you get better.
You bet. Dave, the popularity, of course, there was a time when muzzleloaders is all that was available, you know, century back. But now, I mean, in the last 20, 25 years, I've seen a lot of interest in muzzleloading, especially hunting with muzzleloaders, you know. And I would imagine through the National Muzzleloading Rifle Association, you know, you probably can really see it there.
Well, we've seen just a tremendous growth in hunting with muzzleloading guns. Not only in terms of our big game records book, which has seemingly doubled every 4 years, but also the fact that at the NMLRA, which is located, our home office is in Friendship, Indiana, We're constantly having pictures run across our desk and inquiries from hunters as to state laws for muzzleloaders, as to what's a decent type of gun or load to go hunting for the first time. And basically, we're seeing hunters educating hunters, which is perhaps the best way of doing things, sharing it shoulder to shoulder, either at the range or, like you said, if you have a farm or a ranch, out back on top of the table, shooting into the hillside. It's just a fun sport because there's so many aspects to the sport, from working up loads and trying to shoot for accuracy versus trying to work up a load that is efficient and effective on a game animal, or even just plinking for the pure fun of it and maybe even some history and nostalgia. And that's what the folks at the NMLRA do so well. They bring history into the gun. They bring the expert ballisticians into the gun, and they bring the fun factor, which you won't find anywhere else. You shoot a whole box of expensive 30-06s, and what have you done? You've shot a whole box of expensive 30-06s. But I guarantee if you sit down and shoot 20 shots out of a muzzle-loading gun, there's just some kind of excitement that can't be compared to anything else.
Yes, sir. And there's always the little subtleties, the things that you'll learn as you go along. In other words, do I swab between each round, or is it better to shoot a fouling round and then look for a group? There's so many things, and there's, truthfully, a lot of people, you'll get a lot of different answers, won't you, Dave, you know?
Absolutely. It seems to be a lot of experts out there. But the best place to learn is at a local muzzle-loading shoot or rendezvous, because there's people there who have been shooting muzzle-loaders well forever. Muzzle-loading has never really faded from the scene in America. It started America back in the 1600s, whether you landed at Plymouth Rock or you came through the port of Philadelphia or Baltimore and later New York City, and moved westward until we reached the mountains of the Pacific. The muzzleloader's always been there. And many of the state game organizations, their departments of conservation, natural resources, have been using muzzleloaders and the folks who use them as a management tool for trying to curb some of the out-of-control game populations that we currently see in some states. A quick look at the Long Hunter record book. As I said before, we seem to be doubling the entries every 4 years. The white-tailed deer seems to be just absolutely a magnet all across North America. And we've gone from just a humble page or two of record entries until now we're almost approaching 2,000 people in the record book with whitetails. And it's interesting to note that while there's the vast majority of them that are in there are shooting some kind of modern muzzleloader in 50 caliber, which seems to be the most popular, there's still quite a few in there that are shooting old-time external ignition guns like you had talked about earlier, the percussion cap Hawken, which Robert Redford made popular with Jeremiah Johnson, and flintlocks before that with Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett. In fact, it's interesting to note that in the record book, there's 19 whitetails, typical whitetails, taken with flintlock rifles, and that says something about our sport, that muzzleloading has come from those humble roots to the ultra-modern muzzleloader. But all of them are still represented.
Dave, you know what? We are. I wish we had 3 hours for today's show, but we don't. We're out of time. Folks can go to www.nmlra.org, correct?
That is correct.
Now,
don't forget to click on the Long Hunter link.
Long Hunter link, you bet. The 800 number is 800-745-1493. I believe that's correct.
That is great.
Awesome. Well, this is fun. I'll get you back. We're going to talk a lot more muzzle loading, and next time I may be picking your brain for some of your ballistics expertise, Dave.
Well, that'd be a lot of fun, Luke. Let's look forward to it.
Well, thanks very much. Folks, we are out of time. Do remember, you can go to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the hour-long archive of our show.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.